Super Fantasy Football Show.
Come back down to Planet Rando, Brian.
Oh my gosh, a domestic abuser.
What is it? He just sent a dick pic to Jerry. What are you? A perp or something?
Are you too busy to put your blackout dates on the Google Doc? I'm 1,000% sure you and your little butt buddy Randy have already talked about this, so.
Never. We would never
collude. You fucking canoodling.
No collusion.
We would
no
never collude, John.
Tyreek Hill. Stephon Diggs. It's going to be probably the widest margin victory. I mean.
Hey, Matt, shrimp out of landlocked state, sign me up.
I don't think Randy's going to have a first round pick the entire decade of the 2020.
That's a guy that keeps his fall free. He knows it's football season.
Right.
And, you know, what's up with these? Some of these people planning trips to Italy during football season.
Wow. Okay. So there it is. There it is. I mean, I think you got to let it go on a little bit longer there at the end. But other than that, pretty good, Rando.
I need more content. I've got to do a deep dive into other episodes, get funnier clips.
What did you think, Chez?
I love it. Little breadcrumbs of seasons past.
Mm-hmm. Sprinkle them in there.
Oh, man. I love it. Okay. Well, welcome back to a Super Fantasy Football Show. I'm John.
And I'm Randy.
And we got Chez on here. And we're just going to talk some fantasy football here, fellas. Let's just dive right in. Last week's game.
A lot to unpack, Johnny, in week three.
A lot to unpack. We'll dive right into it. Let's see here. I didn't get my tabs all set up here. Chez, why don't you start us off with your game?
Big W. Luckily, you know, Eric had at least one player on Thursday night, pretty average start, and then had some waiver wire pickups was the biggest difference for the game with Juwan Jennings for San Francisco. So
that was huge.
That was big.
How'd you hear Debo. That guy?
Just Debo was hurt, so he became. He's typically, I think, their wide receiver three, so he's wide receiver two.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm surprised. I don't know that I would have the stones to just throw him right in the lineup, but it worked out.
I wasn't going to have him, and then Michael Pittman Jr. was questionable up until game time, and then he ended up playing, but it was like a calf or hamstring, so I was kind of worried about him not getting a lot of volume, so put him on the bench.
Well,
kudos to you. Oh, sorry, John.
No, go ahead.
Kudos to you, Matthew. You got the right quarterback this week. I was a little nervous when I saw you had Joe Burrow in the lineup, and 24 points out of Joe Burrow. That was solid.
That's pretty solid. I'm surprised he had that many because they lost, but no turnovers. That's huge. So technical fouls were the pretty big dogs in this one too. You were projected 105 to Altman and Sons 124, but the final ended up being Altman and Sons 117.5 to, was this the league high 144.5 this week, Chez?
I believe so. Yeah. Pretty... And with a goose egg out of my kicker, that was tough.
That was pretty. That was
pretty. No good love for the special teamers.
No, you feeling good about after this win, Chez?
Yeah, it's big. Get a 2-game lead over Rick in the East. So with him having a real good team, this was, you know, probably the biggest win of the season.
Yeah, that's pretty huge. You continue undefeated. We're down to 2 undefeated teams, and if you're Altman and Sons, I mean, it's still a good performance. I think that's the 4th best score of the week, looking at it quickly. So, but you're pretty disappointed falling to 1-2. What do you think about it, Randy?
If I'm Altman and Sons, you have to rebound this week against Denny Irvine's Gatorades. It's a must win.
Ooh, shit. Yeah.
It's a must win.
Denny is 2-1. They're ahead of Altman and Sons in the East.
And Tom's riding off a little high right now.
He is.
So And also, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on the podcast, but Tom is in the trade market. Tom is actively seeking trade partners.
Oh, shit. Rando bomb. All right.
But, yeah.
Well, not much faith in Denny Erhardt.
Big rebound week. And, Chez, you go up against who this week?
I believe Diddy. Yeah.
You got to, another.
The winless Hawk Tuas.
Try and get to 4-0.
Well, let's.
Yeah, so much going for both teams this week, you and Eric.
Yeah.
You pulled away from it, but he didn't have stones to get it done.
Pretty huge win for the Fouls. All right, let's move over to the Running Fools versus Oink, the battle of the exclamation point. The Fools win this one 134.5 to Oink's 100. That injury bug is just fucking killing Oink. And I think someone in his lineup got hurt again, but maybe not. But the goose egg out of Ramondre Stevenson on Thursday night, that's a real kick in the knackers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jameson Williams with 0.5. Half a point.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Didn't do him any favors.
And did you guys see Christian McCaffrey is going to Germany to see a doctor? So,
yeah, it seems to kind of Achilles specialist.
Not a great sign. Man, that is, God, what a fucking trade for Brian. And going up against Brian this week, too, that's got to hurt extra. Who did he give up for Christian McCaffrey? I can't remember.
I don't believe it was a whole lot.
Yeah, whatever. I can't remember. But that's tough. The Fools, I mean, they were firing on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. They're pretty strong looking team. Everywhere that David has the injury bug, the Running Fools are pretty healthy, other than losing Jordan Love. I think they're a team to be feared moving forward. What do you think, Chez?
Yeah, still solid, top to bottom. Got Jalen Hurts, Tommy giving him away. Here goes Tom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No glaring weaknesses. So.
Oh yeah, he did have a big trade this week, didn't he?
Contention. Yeah, that was this week.
Don't want to talk about it. Don't want to talk about it.
All right. Now let's move on to Iron City Olifants versus Hawk Tua. The Fonz got it done. They made me a little nervous in the end there, but pulled out the win 114 to Hawk Tua's 104.5. The Fonz go up to 3-0, first in the West. Hawk Tua 0-3, fourth in the West. But pretty good showing out of Hawk Tua. Austin mm-hmm. Eckler had a pretty decent game, which has got to be promising. Chris Godwin, again, really good. Travis Kelce, only 5 points. That's gonna increase at some point, I think. I don't think he's that washed yet. I don't think he's washed. I think he's just old and losing half a step. I think he'll be okay.
Distracted.
Definitely distracted, too. And then on the other side, Iron City Olifants. Who was I really disappointed in? The Dolphins.
Tyreek going 5.5.
Yeah, the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Little upset with them, but I think they're going to be okay. Seahawks are, I think, have a pretty good defense this year, so I think they'll be fine going forward. And then Justin Tucker, 3 points. Jeez, I already have one Raven on my roster. I don't want to get rid of him though.
Now, John, I know we don't deal on hypotheticals on this podcast.
Yeah, right.
But Diddy makes one move and puts C.J. Stroud on the bench and puts Dak Prescott in that lineup. We're talking about a whole nother team here.
Yep, that's
left
true.
29 points from Dak on the bench.
That's true. That really hurts. And Amari Cooper, 23.5. Yeah, it was there on the table. The boys definitely started overlooking Hawk Tua this week, but sorry, we got out with the dub unscathed, still undefeated, and still leading the West. So happy about that. Mm-hmm. All right, and now let's move on to our, I think this was the game of the week. Was it, Randy?
It was the unofficial game of the week.
The unofficial game of the week. Denny Irvine's Gatorade, 126 to the Real Americans, 56.5. 0-3, the Real Americans are in the East Division. And 2-1 are Denny Irvine's Gatorade in the East Division. So,
yep.
Randy, you and I both took the Real Americans this week. And boy, oh boy, did you get your ass kicked.
Major, major disappointment.
Doubled your score. More than doubled.
Yeah, bad. My bench scored more points than my starting roster.
Oh, my God. I didn't even notice that.
80.5 points on the bench, 56.5 on the starting lineup.
Oh, my God. What the fuck happened, Randy?
I'm not exactly sure. Big goose egg from Rashid Shaheed. Another goose egg from, look again, Mark Andrews. What a fucking disappointment.
You know,
is best left tackle in fantasy football.
James Conner, another one. 1.5 points. Just traded for him. Mike Evans, 2 points. Just traded for him. It's looking bleak over here. Kudos to Tommy, though. He pretty much hit it on all cylinders.
Yeah, he was doing great.
Choice was right.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase had 26 points. Brock Purdy, 25. Derrick Henry, 29.5. Zach Moss, 16.5. I mean, Tom really came to play.
That trade worked out for him with Brian giving up Jalen Hurts, and who only got 10 points this week. So that really worked out for Denny Irvine's Gatorade.
Mm-hmm. Big Cock Brock, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. yeah, about Rashid Shaheed. I noticed that there were like 4 other waiver claims on him, but I'm glad you're finally fucking paying attention to the waiver wire to get this useless player. Got you 0 points.
Yeah, what a disappointment.
0 points out of Mark Andrews.
I took the bait. I took the bait. He had... No, I don't want his actual stats. I want his fantasy stats. What are you doing to me?
Who are your keepers?
I took the bait. He had 14.5 points in week one. He had 18 points in week two. In week three, he put up a big fat old goose egg.
Yeah, that's tough. 5 targets, though, still. So, I mean, at least I feel like you can still keep him.
Yeah, well, I'll let it pan out. Mark Andrews, I think, is done. I think he's dead to me.
Yeah, 9 points so far in the year for Mark Andrews.
Yeah, especially when Dallas Goedert on my bench goes out and puts up 22 points.
Patrick Mahomes is the number 16th ranked quarterback.
Yep.
He was one of your keepers. That's tough.
Yeah, and I got the number 13th sitting on my bench. I should have started good old Aaron Rodgers, anti-vaxxer.
Anti-vaxxer, 9/11 conspiracy theorist, Aaron Rodgers.
Perfect fit.
Oh, I had to look up who Alec Pierce was, Randy, after your trade. I had never heard that name.
I'm like Thanos. I collect white rod receivers like Infinity Stones. I want to get him now while he's good. I want to get him early. I want to have him. I just want to hold on to him. And now...
Feeling it now after with Andy Dalton. All the Panthers.
Oh, and so that was my thinking. Adam Thielen got him back on the roster. Longtime member of the Real Americans for years. And Adam Thielen is now on IR.
That's tough.
right on IR at the wrong time. You got the Red Rocket out there slinging it around. And looks like the Panthers season. Yeah, I know it's been 1 week, but the Panthers season might have changed on a dime.
And of course, immediately looked up who had Deontay Johnson, hoping that no one did, but fucking Eric has him. So that could be huge for Altman and Sons Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's I feel like there are a few teams in the NFL that have been surprises with how bad they are. And like the Bengals, I feel like they've been a huge disappointment. I don't know who the fuck else, but But yeah, it seems like there are just some teams that are going through weird transitions, and it's really affecting fantasy football right now. Tough to tell who's good or who could be good. So yeah, anything else to add on this game or any of the other past games?
It was a
games?
Stinker. I'm sorry to all my fans out there. It was a stinker.
Yeah, really, really fucking boring game.
Nothing worse than when you talk a bunch of shit and then it just comes back and slaps you right in the face.
Ain't that the truth? All right, let's get to League Pulse here. Standings in the East. There's the undefeated Technical Fouls in first, 3-0, followed by Denny Irvine's Gatorade, 2-1. Altman and Sons Incorporated, 1-2. The Real Americans, 0-3 in the basement. At least it's everyone like one perfect game behind each other, so that's nice. And then on the other side, it's the same thing. In the West, the Oliphants first with 3-0, Running Fools 2-1, Oink 1-2, Hawk Tua 0-3.
Have we ever had a team not or go completely 0-whatever? Have we ever had a team not win a game?
I don't think so. That's hard to do.
There's a very good chance it could be this year. There's a very good chance. Well, hey, John, don't you have my first round pick for like the next 3 years?
I don't think it starts until the following year. I think 2026 is the first year.
I'll bring it up on my phone.
But I don't think you have a first round pick next year either.
No, but I don't. I know I don't.
Are you looking
John,
up
John, just
see...
to keep you... Well, I'm looking that up, but just to keep you in the loop on the scoring title, I know it's still early.
Oh, yeah. Let us know.
But you are in first place still with 414 points.
Okay.
With the Running Fools narrowing the gap, they're at 404.5 points.
Ooh, okay. So I have a...
The next closest team in third place for the scoring title are the Technical Fouls at 359 points.
Okay. All right. A bit of a gap there. Who's in last? Well, you're in last, right?
You want to make me say it on here? Why are you going to do that? I'm in last with 229.4.
Okay.
Though, Denny Irvine's Gatorade has a 60-point lead on me. He's at 289.
What do the Fouls have?
Oh, the Fouls have 359. They are in third place.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
For the scoring title.
Okay. All right. Neck and neck. We'll see who wants it more.
So, John, to keep you posted on my first round pick.
Yes.
David Galanci currently holds my first round pick for 2025.
Okay. And then I get it in 2026.
Yours are 2026, 2027, and 2028. And I'm pretty sure I just traded some to Brian.
I thought Brian traded some to you, or did you also trade some to Brian?
No, I traded picks to Brian.
Oh, my Jesus Christ. Is there a way, like, realistically, this year, could I make a trade with you to get your first-round picks for the next 50 years? Who would I have to give to get your next 50 first-round picks?
We could talk about it. I don't know if that's possible. Here's the thing, though. You want to take that gamble? I don't think I'll be alive in 50 years. That puts me at 81.
Okay, 30 years.
All right, maybe. We can talk to the commish. There's no rule yet. I'm waiting for the commissioner to give me the SMU death penalty. And just tell me until my first round, like, I'm not allowed to trade picks until the furthest out first round pick I've traded is fulfilled.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, okay. So since we're in League Pulse, I guess let's dig into this trade a little bit. So I didn't realize you were giving up more first round picks.
Yeah, Brian really, Brian, actually, I'm not even gonna lie. I did that willingly. My whole thing to Brian is I kept telling him, let's try to make headlines. Let's make a big move.
Oh, yeah. He texted me some, the behind the scenes texts. Where did those go? Okay. So Randy says Alec Pierce, James Conner, Mike Evans for Joe Mixon, Tank Dell, my first round in 2029, 2020, 2030, my round two in 2026 and 2027. Brian says we won't even have a league in 2030. And then Randy revised it, throws in his third round picks in 2026 and 2027. And says, you want to make a big move? Let's fucking make a move. Plus, as a bonus, I will no longer refer to you as the devil on the podcast.
Oh, yes, that was also in the deal. I'm no longer allowed to refer to Brian as the devil.
Let's make a splash, Brian.
Hey, big move.
Brian at one point said, wait, you're giving me picks?
Yep.
It seems like the players were like kind of an even wash for like...
I thought I was getting the better end of the deal. I wasn't worried about Pierce. I more or less wanted Mike Evans and James Conner, and I thought getting rid of Tank Dell would be beneficial because Tank Dell hasn't done anything all year. And then Joe Mixon being hurt, I figured that was enough to at least get me through the next week or two.
I feel like it was a good trade, just players, excluding the picks.
I also didn't think Brian would make it without the picks, but apparently I'm wrong here.
Well, you were the one who brought up picks. No one had mentioned picks until you were like, all right, fuck it. I'll throw it.
I was trying to get a deal done as quick as I could.
Oh, my God. Incredible. Okay. Well, that's good. And who'd you get? Who did you get out of this?
Mike Evans, James Conner, and is it Alex Pierce? I don't even know his name.
Alec Pierce. Well, and what was your goal with this? Like, are any of these guys going to be keepers for you?
No, but I really wanted Mike Evans and James Conner.
Okay.
I thought Conner was on pace to have a good year. He still might. But
okay, so this was like a win now move.
Yeah, it was something to kind of like just pump up the roster a little bit. I figured I was replacing Joe Mixon with two viable starters.
Mm-hmm.
And that really fucked me. What'd they combine for? 3 points this week?
We got 56 and a half points on the week out of the Real Americans there, so that's tough. That's tough after a win now move, but we'll see how it pays off. We'll see.
And, Johnny, we also had a move from the commissioner earlier in the week.
We did. What was that one? I gotta start writing these down earlier.
Well, John looks for that. I just want to point out, look, if you want to trade with me, send it via text. Don't be sending me trade proposals in the app. I want the banter back and forth. Don't do it on the app. If you send it in the app, I'm declining it. I'm just telling you all now. Well, it goes for David. That goes for David and Tom, who have just been sending me trades in the app. Don't do it.
How do you feel about app trades, Chez?
I don't like it either. I don't get the notification. I don't have any push notifications from the app, so.
Yeah.
I'm with Chez. I don't see it.
You don't get like email notifications about them?
Yeah, I do.
But I get the emails, but I wanted it. Look in the eye.
You want to make a trade? All right. I gotta see how honest you are.
Exactly. I want a wheel and deal. Let's talk it out.
All right, fine. For anyone listening, I'm open to trades in the app. So, because I'm not a monster. But, all right. Did we talk about the commission's trade yet? No, we didn't. Jameson Williams from the Detroit Lions for Dak Prescott and Isaiah Likely to Hawk Tua. I guess that's a fine trade. Dak Prescott, that's probably the main guy he wanted.
The commish offered me the same trade, but for Michael Pittman Jr.
Interesting. Ooh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Any reason you turned it down?
Didn't feel like I needed any, quarterbacks. So Dak's good, but I still probably wouldn't be playing him, and then just wasn't interested in getting a tight end, even though he's, receiving option tight end on the Ravens now.
Interesting.
Well,
yeah, Randy, they got their best receiver out there playing left tackle. I'm not happy about it.
Randy, I think you
I want to just clarify for the record.
Sure, yeah.
That in the Discord where I said to David, I expect this kind of tomfoolery from Hawk Tua, but not from our beloved Kamish. What I had meant, I had no issue with the trade.
Mm-hmm.
I have Sounds the like issue. I want to see the text thread of the trade, and both are in agreement. I don't want to see just a screenshot of the trade from the app. That's all I meant. I want the behind the scenes. I want the details. Oh, I like the trade.
Okay. Okay. That's an interesting take, but I respect it, I guess. But if it only happened in the app, what are they supposed to do?
I want a formal statement, text message thread
okay.
that says we're both in agreement.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. I like that. One other thing I wanted to bring up in the League Pulse section. Pretty big scoring differentials every week in our league. So we really have not had a very close game yet at all. So in week one, the average scoring differential was 30.5 points, the largest being 35, and the smallest being 27. And then week two, the average jumped up to 45.8, with the largest being 64 and the smallest being 28. Week three, the average down a little bit to 35, with the largest being 69.5 to 9.5 was the smallest. And 9.5 has been the closest game we've had, which is just crazy because we've had like good scoring teams. They just haven't matched up against each other. So just a little interesting observation, and I hope the games start getting closer because these blowouts are a little bit boring.
Any particular reason, John, you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, maybe because the extra flex spot, you don't have the dependency of, like, you know,
a defense and a tight end. And
yeah, because you know those guys are going to get so many points. Maybe the extra flex spot is making it more boom or bust. But yeah, I hope the games get a little closer, but not my games. I love that my games have been blowouts. That's been really nice. So keep it up, Fonts. All right. Well, let's move into mail time.
Mail time, mail time, mail time.
We got an email first from Brian. He said, "Is this the year of the kicker? Through 2 weeks, my kicker has the second most fantasy points on my team behind only Baker Mayfield." And I will say, I looked around. It seems like kicking scores have been down more this week, but before that, they were pretty damn high. I feel like I'd heard that there have been more field goals in the first 2 weeks than ever before. Is that right?
There was a lot. The what was it? Just Boswell had how many? 4 or 5 in week one.
There's a lot. There's been a lot, and a lot of like really long ones, which I can't remember how scoring goes, but.
Well, actually, yeah, I looked up the scoring because this is interesting. There's no extra points beyond 50-yard kicks. So a 50-yard kick is worth the same as a 60-yard kick, as a 65-yard kick, which I think is crazy. I think at this point we should add one extra point or whatever for 60-yard field
goals. I would agree with that.
And I think Brian mentioned wanting to do like 25 points if you get a 65-yard kick, which I don't agree with. That's crazy.
I agree with you. I'd like the one extra point if it's 60-plus.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, John, do we have anything in the scoring for a missed field goal or extra point?
We do not. We do not.
See, that should be part of it.
Yeah.
As a quarterback, you throw an interception, it's negative points. You're a running back and you fumble, it's negative points.
I totally agree.
And why should kickers be exempt? It's one third of the game, for God's sake.
Randy, I had mentioned this to you earlier. I would vote on this immediately. Because so far, we're 3 weeks in. We've had these blowouts, so we haven't had close games. We can implement it starting immediately. No one's going to get fucked over in the past. We just move forward. Who says no?
Commissioner Glancy. You heard it here first.
Call the
if you're any kind of commissioner, you will hold a mandatory all hands on deck league vote tomorrow night after this drops, and we will vote on it. We need to correct an emergency session. We need to correct the kicking scoring immediately.
It's up to the commish to do the right thing and call the vote. Count those electors. Count the ones that we sent. Count them up.
Vote or die.
Vote or die. That's right. That's right. So, you know, do what you want, commish, but those are some pretty strong words out of Rando there. All right, and then speaking of Rando, email from him. He says, throughout Aaron Rodgers' 20-year career, Garrett Wilson is the first wide receiver drafted in the first round to ever catch a touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. The only other first-round pick to catch a touchdown from Rodgers is tight end Mercedes Lewis. So they never had a first-round wide receiver.
Yeah, the Packers never I think that was like a big thing that all throughout while Aaron Rodgers was there, they would never draft him like a top-tier first-round receiver. And me and Tom were kind of talking about this Saturday. We were trying to figure out like what round Greg Jennings was drafted in. They had that James Jones for a while, Randall Cobb.
Yeah, Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams, I believe, was a second rounder.
Okay.
Wow. Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, playing the league for 20 years. You'd think you'd get him some first round talent.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still undecided on how I feel about the Jets. I can't decide like how much I hate them. I'm not gonna come anywhere close to liking them, but I don't know if I like old Rodgers at all.
You want Park Rodgers back?
Yeah. Yeah. At least be good. Like you got to be like at least be fucking good, but he hasn't been so far. So anyway, all right, let's get to the last email, which is an audio message from David. So let's listen to this one. It's a doozy, so buckle up.
It's Monday morning. I have a lot of things to say about fantasy football, so I'm just going to dive right in. First of all, the only thing more annoying than Brian and Randy trading all of those players and having to log it in the sheet is having to play Brian in fantasy this week. Nobody else sends taunts, but Brian literally sent me a taunt for every touchdown his player scored, but in a more annoying way. Not at the time they scored, but like 15 minutes later, making me think they scored again. Fuck you, Brian. You are the devil.
Oh, my God.
Matt Chez teased me all week with Stephon Diggs on the bench. Said he wasn't going to play him, then started him. I don't know what else to say. I just like the technical fouls. 33 points as of Monday morning for the real American. I know you suck, but fuck. Mark Andrews, 0 points. James Conner, 1 point. Mike Evans, 2 points. Rashid Shaheed, 0 points. And I was let down for not getting Shaheed and trading for Jameson Williams, who got half a point, but even the real American's worse than me. And we got Hatua. Thanks, Matt, for being the only person you literally ever trade with. I think Matt's only trades have been with me. I feel like he never picks anybody up on the waivers unless to start Kenny Pickett. But when he does trade with me, it usually results in someone like Nick Chubb fucking breaking their leg and never playing again. So not sure what that says about me or what it says about him. I got one last thing to say on Brian again. Usually Randy or Eric will send me TikToks on Instagram. Brian starts sending me shit-talking TikToks Friday morning about Ramondre Stevenson scoring 0 points. Brian, you are the absolute worst.
I love it. I love it.
What a message from the commish.
Getting it off his chest.
I loved
it's when... about time, John, someone listened to what I've been saying. It'd be great if we had them in voice memos.
Oh man, yeah, that was incredible. Send us more voice memos. superfantasyfootballshow@gmail.com. And Randy, let's talk about this, because you're pissing me off a little bit when David was texting us about this. He asked, how does he send voice memos? And I told him how you do it. You can send it like you do in, like, just a normal voice thing in text.
Yeah, but they expire.
They expire when you text it. But if you put in the number for... just put the email in instead of a number, it'll send it as an email. And it'll come through the same way that David's came through.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's why I said how you could do it. But you can do it that way, or you can make a voice memo and email it in.
Oh, my apologies.
Either way, it works. That's okay.
Hey.
I just want everyone to know that you have options. You can do it however you want. So email us at superfantasyfootballshow@gmail.com. That was incredible. Thank you to the commissioner. All right. That's the end of mail time. So shall we move on to next week's games?
Sounds good to me, Johnny.
All right, fine. Let's see who we have up. My internet's been fucking terrible lately.
Have we decided the game of the week?
We'll give it to our guest, Technical Fouls versus Hawk Tua.
Okay.
But the first game we'll talk about. What about? I think there's some really good matchups this week. Actually, I think honestly, basically any of these could be game of the week. So let's start with Iron City Olifants versus Altman and Sons. We'll just go in order for me. The number one team in the West and the number three team in the East facing off. Currently projected 108. And Altman and Sons Incorporated projected 123. I'm not exactly sure why I'm the underdog here. I know my lineup isn't fully set, but I think that's pretty rude of them because I'm undefeated. all right, let's go through some of these matchups here. Lamar Jackson, you know, I'm not gonna take Albany and Sons. I talk too much shit on them. I already know. I'm taking the Iron City Olifants. I'm not gonna say it's by a wide margin because I'm not gonna tempt fate like that. But I think they're gonna squeak out the win and really prove who they are as the number one team in the league. Chez, what do you think?
I'm going with Albany and Sons. I think they're too good of a team to be 1-3 in the basement. You know, they're gonna get the win in a close one. Be 2-2, right back in it. You know, I think this will be the highest scoring game across the league. But
all right,
taking Albany and Sons.
Well, get fucked, Randy. What do you got?
I agree with Chez on one point. I agree with him. This will be the highest scoring game of the week. But I disagree with the victor. I think the Iron City Olifants walk away with it. I think Eric has some tough matchups. Jonathan Taylor against the Steelers defense has been super stingy to running backs all season.
Mm-hmm. Still hurting.
CeeDee Lamb against the Giants, who the Giants look like they might be legit contenders this year. I could be speaking too soon, but they look pretty good. Breece Hall against Denver. I mean, that could be a toss-up. Kyler Murray against Washington. I don't know. Is Kyler that good? I'm still not a big fan. I like your team across the board. I like Lamar against Buffalo in a high-scoring affair. I like Alvin Kamara against Atlanta. Tyreek worries me a little bit, but Tennessee sucks this year. Garrett Wilson against Denver, I like. Yeah, and battle of the kickers. I think you got the better kicker there, Johnny. God, I'm taking you.
So. All right, there you go. We'll see what happens. And now let's move on to another really good game. The Running Fools versus Denny Irvine's Gatorade. Both in second place, the Fools in the West, Denny Irvine's in the East. And it looks like the Running Fools are projected to win this one with a score of, oh my god, fucking load. 130.9 to 105 for Denny Irvine's Gatorade.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I mean, it looks like a good game, I guess, once you really look at it. It doesn't appear to be super close, and I would love for Denny Irvine to win this one. Get Brian off my back, but I don't think it's going to happen. I'm taking the Running Fools. They just look too strong this year.
Mm-hmm.
Chez, what do you think?
Well, with the Fools also, they, yeah, top to bottom, just I think a slightly better team. Brian has some good matchups this week. Jalen Hurts, they're going against Tampa Bay, which defense isn't that great. A couple of players going against Jacksonville, who's a terrible team, so I think the Running Fools take care of business.
Rando, who you got?
Boys, I think we got a sweep. I think we're all in agreement. I'm riding with you boys, and I'm riding with ESPN. I think they got it right in this. Brian has a 67% chance to win. I'm taking the Running Fools. I think Tom, I stand by what I said last week, even though he kicked my ass. I still think Tom's team is the seventh best team in the league.
Ooh, take
I still think
shots.
Hawk 2 is better than Tom. I still think Oink is better than Tom. I think there was just a flash in the past. It was rivalry week. Tom was amped just off the plane from Paris, running around, trying to keep his Belgian chocolates and macaroons from melting. Yeah, I'm taking the Running Fools in a landslide.
All right. Fools, fools, fools. I like it. Easy to remember. Let's move on to the next game. The Real American versus Oink. Oink is projected to get 113 and the Real American 97. So the dog once again, Randy. What do you think? Well, I guess we'll save you for last. I don't know. I think there's an opportunity here for the Real American to squeak one out against Oink. Again, the injury bug over there is just brutal. You gotta think that he's going to have some players bounce back. I don't think Ramondre Stevenson is going to get 0 points again. It looks like Kenneth Walker might play, so he's in the lineup. I don't quite remember who else was injured that he would be able to put back in there. But, yeah, I think Oink is still a good team, so I'm gonna take them in this one. Rando stays in the basement. Chez, who do you got?
You know, it's going to come down to one decision by Real American. They want to be in the basement, winless, or pull something out. Randy, you bench Mark Andrews this week. Put someone else in that flex position. You will get your first victory. Bite the bullet. You can't keep playing a left tackle every week and expect to win. It's pulling you down. He's holding you back.
Fucking cut him.
Cut your losses.
Cut bench him.
Get anyone else in there, and you will win. Embarrass the commish. Your first W.
Oh, man. You got to do it, Randy. All right, Randy, tell us your thoughts.
If there's ever a chance for me to finally get on the board, I think it's this week. I think I caught Oink at a good time where they're down. They got the injury bug. There's still an opportunity. I agree with Chez. I got some tweaks to make. I got a big, heartfelt decision to make about Mark Andrews. But at the same time, I like Oink's team. I like my close personal friend Josh Allen at a quarterback, DK Metcalf. But I do see Kenneth Walker, questionable. A.J. Brown, still questionable. Keenan Allen, questionable. George Kittle, questionable. Puka Nacua on IR, Christian McCaffrey. If there's ever an opportunity for me to steal one, I think it's now. I'm going to take myself.
Okay. Well,
John, I want to point out one thing.
Yes,
please. Unrelated to the game.
Okay, yeah.
Every week of fantasy football this year, I have been to a live sporting event with my opponent.
Wow.
Week one.
Yeah, take us through it.
Week one, I was at the backyard brawl with the technical fouls. I lost. Week two, I was at Pitt Youngstown State with Tom Haley. I lost. Week three this week, I will be at Penn State, Illinois with the Commissioner Galanzi.
Oh, damn.
So there's a chance this train might keep rolling. I might lose again. So, Brian, I don't want to look forward to week five. But if you want to go to a live sporting event on that Saturday, I'll fly out to California. You can fly here. We'll do something. We need to keep this train rolling.
Yeah, keep it going. Because, I mean, we'll have the SRK, so that'll be one built in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it. I say keep it up.
A weird little fun fact.
All right. That's a great little fun fact. Hope you enjoy State College. I don't even know it's there anymore to recommend.
I'll keep my shirt on, I promise.
There you go. I don't believe you, but... all right, now let's move on to our game of the week, Hawk Tua.
What game of the week? Sorry, John.
Hawk Tua versus the technical fouls. The fouls projected 114.8, Hawk Tua 102. God, you know, I really want to be able to take Hawk Tua. I think the potential is there. I mean, he showed it last week. He's got some dogs on his team. But I think, annoyingly, the technical fouls are going to be able to squeak this one out. Saquon has been pretty good this year. Jaden Daniels, love seeing him in the starting spot. Stephon Diggs, I think, has a good matchup. So I think the technical fouls move up to 4-0. And first in the East, and I like their chances this week. Randy, what do you think?
I spent a lot of time, John, in the preseason dissecting all these teams. There was one team I really thought had it, and I thought it was Denny Irvine's Gatorade, and I was wrong. I thought Tom had a chance to write his story this year. That chapter was closed. The next chapter of this year's story is the team of destiny, the technical fouls. I said it last year, and, you know, I ate my words eventually. It might be too early, but I'm cashing in. I'm putting all my chips on the technical fouls this year. They are the team of destiny. They will single-handedly defeat Hawk Tua. It's not even going to be close. Didiano, you're both named Matt. But Didiano, you might as well not even show up today or this week. It's a waste of time. The technical fouls are going to destroy you.
Oh, boy. So that means you'd be 4-0. Hawk 2 would be 0-4 in the West. That'd be pretty tough. Chez, what do you think? What's going to happen this week?
Put a nail in his coffin for this season this week. Going to pull it out. Got some favorable matchups. Saquon's doing good. Going to put Daniels in, I think. Going to keep Jennings in there. You know, he had a big week last week. Got to keep riding with him. Diddy has a couple injuries. I think Devontae Smith got a concussion. He's questionable, but, you know, good chance he won't play. Austin Eckler is listed as questionable, so I think he's going to have some depth issues filling out the roster this week. So technical fouls going to be 4-0. And once the Olifants lose, it will be the only undefeated team left in the league. So it's going to be a big week four.
Well, didn't you tie a nice pretty bow on that, you piece of shit? We'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, is that the end of the games? That's it, I guess, huh?
That's it.
All right. Anything else anyone wants to throw in here? Oh, Randy, didn't you have some stats you wanted to go over?
Oh, I had a fun fact, but it was more about Jaden Daniels, and now that I read it, I don't think it's as fun as I thought, but let me see where it was. Jaden Daniels. Fun fact about Jaden Daniels, the technical foul starting quarterback maybe this week. Jaden Daniels' week three completion percentage, 91%, is the highest recorded by a rookie quarterback in a single game in NFL history with a minimum of 20 attempts.
Wait, I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
He has the highest ever completion percentage at 91% by a rookie in a single NFL game.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. And what was the percentage? 90-something?
91%.
Damn.
And my other fun fact, I got to reread this. This is about the Jaguars.
The Jaguars.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have lost an NFL worst 8 straight games with Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, dating back to last season. The Jaguars have joined Jim – oh, sorry, my apologies. The Jaguars quarterback has joined Jim Plunkett as the only quarterback drafted number one overall in the common draft area to have multiple losing streaks of 8 or more games in their career.
Damn, that's crazy. Is Trevor Lawrence just not good anymore? What happened there?
Not sure. I just think they got through the crappy Urban Meyer years, and who's the coach there now? Is it Doug Marrone?
Is that Doug Peterson?
Doug Peterson. Yeah.
So they're still rebuilding, retinkering.
Damn.
Tom Haley year down there in Jacksonville.
Well, at least one of those was a happy fact for our guest, and I think that's a great way to end it. So that's our show for the week. Best of luck to everyone except for Eric. This has been a Super Fantasy Football Show. We'll be back probably in 2 weeks. And until then, I'll see you at Froggies.
Take us out, Glow City!